Welcome back to Toys on Tap. This week is another dope week with one of my favorite artists of all time, More Horrific. Mark comes on and really just dives into where he's been for the last couple years. He has been helping Toys on Tap and Yucca Toys for some time now, and it has been a cool partnership to see come from this community that I love so much. Wherever you get podcasts, please like, subscribe, rate, review. That is how we're going to get to other people. And if you want to support the show even more, you can jump on that Patreon, patreon.com/toysontap. Goodies over there. You're going to love it. Now let's get to this episode of Toys on Tap.
I'll watch your episode and then I'll go look them up and follow them.
Yeah.
Before that, I don't know anybody. So if you haven't had them on, then I have no idea who they are.
Yeah. I mean, that's how I like to, like, there's a lot of artists that'll come on and they'll say like, hey, I didn't know these artists. Honestly, I didn't until they came on. So
yeah. Yeah.
We're all in the same boat here, yeah. But I'm pumped that you're on. It's been almost 2 years since you've been on, I think.
Yeah, I know. I know. Somebody told me like I've been here in this city for like 4 years or something. I was like, what? Like, I feel like I moved here last year or something. So
dude,
it's pretty weird. Time flies, you know?
And you're going to have to catch us up on so much. So
yeah.
Are you ready for this?
Yeah, I'm ready whenever you are.
Okay. Hey, that's what I'm talking about. Hey, just like we start every episode, introduce yourself. Tell us who you are, what you do.
Okay, I'm Mark Pinley. I go by More Horrific on Instagram. I'm a digital sculptor and designer. I don't create my own stuff because I'm too lazy to do that. yeah.
I mean, we've worked on projects to make it's like glimpses of your own stuff. I think, too, what's interesting is like to say you're just a digital sculptor, you work for Bottleneck, for yeah. Mondo.
Well,
You do commission work.
Commission work, yeah. But for Bottleneck, you know, things have, you know, because I knew about Bottleneck before we worked on the Furbzerker together. Mm-hmm. I had bought prints from them a long, long time ago. And then, you know, the Cookie Monster Shin Godzilla.
Yeah.
I had bought that through them. And so it's kind of serendipitous that, like, you know, we worked on that project together. And now I'm their in-house sculptor. So it's pretty mind-blowing.
I mean, we're going to catch up on your life because I think you came on before we even started that project.
Yeah.
And I think you were the artist that that kind of set the tone for what I want to do with Toys on Tap as well. Because one of the things that I think is most important is wherever Toys on Tap goes, I want to bring the artists with me. And I remember getting the email that they were going to produce it. And it was like, oh, okay. Well, have you met Mark?
Yeah.
And it was like, and then it was the Yoshi one. And then it was the other sculpting that needed to be done. And now you're the guy. You're the guy.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot. There's been a lot of projects. There's actually been, I don't post everything. Yeah. So there's been quite a few projects actually. And then there's also been there's been a lot of projects that haven't actually been made for some of them for like legal reasons. Mm-hmm. Some of them for, you know, like losing a license or something. So like something would be completed. And the funny thing is like I'll sculpt these things up. Right. And they'll be approved. And then the project will fall through. And so dude. I'll just trash the project. Like I don't keep anything.
Yeah.
So I kind of just throw it all away. It'll never see the light of day, I guess.
Insane. Walk me back 2 years. You've been sculpting for 4 or 5 years now, correct?
Yeah. Well, just like everybody else, or like a lot of our community, I started during the pandemic.
Yeah.
It's a little different though, because I wasn't aware. I didn't start from like seeing stuff that other people were doing. I just, it actually started, and I think I touched on this just a little bit in our first video that we did. And I had gotten a video game called Dreams, their Media Molecules, that was the producer. Mm-hmm. And I started sculpting on there and realized, oh, I can sculpt. I didn't know.
Yeah.
And then I started sculpting out of clay, and I actually made something, you know, out of casting and resin and everything. And it was so expensive because it was huge. What I was making, I wanted to go really big, right? Mm-hmm. And so like each thing that I made was costing me like $400, like per figure. Oof. And so I was like, I'm not going to do this anymore. Kind of got a bad taste in my mouth and never produced anything of my own since then. And so I found digital sculpting, and it was so much easier than not the sculpting out of clay, but actually making it out of casting and resin, much cheaper too. So that's kind of how I got into it. But
insane to just jump in like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, like, unlike, I think a lot of these people during the pandemic started doing this because they were at home and they had all that time to do. I was still working. My job didn't stop. I was a news director. And so I had to go, you know.
What up, toy nerds? This is Ray.
And Dave. Go check out our brand new YouTube channel, The Toy Rats.
We make toys.
We talk about toys.
We talk about old toys.
And new toys.
And toys that we make.
And we're just a bunch of goofballs. It's a good time.
We make fun of Dave a lot.
I'm all right with that. So, if you get a chance, go check out Toy Rats on YouTube. You won't be disappointed. You might be.
Yeah, you could. Who knows?
You got to check it out.
Toy Rats. Toy Rats. YouTube.
Bye.
Bye.
News never stopped, so I had to go into work anyways. But while I was at work, I would be sculpting. And so that helped out a lot, too. There was a little bit of downtime in between shows. So
yeah. I mean, we've talked about that a little bit. And I think that you have probably the same mindset as I do, where if I can fit it in anywhere, I'll work on Toys on Tap anytime I can.
Oh, yeah.
And so how do you, in doing that, because there's been nights where it's like, because you're a couple hours ahead and you work overnight.
Right.
And so, like, I'm going to bed. We just talked about a sculpt. I wake up and sculpt is like either or you've made crazy progress.
Yeah. So that I'm still doing the same thing. I'm still doing it at work.
Yeah.
and then I'm doing it, you know, anytime that I can. So I have a 2-year-old daughter. Mm-hmm. And I'm lucky my wife is stay at home, so that helps a lot. And you know, she needs a break sometimes. So, but when I can, I'll be sculpt. That's all I do. You know, I work and then I sculpt. And so on my days off, I'll keep the same schedule usually and just stay up all night sculpting again. And that's been going on since I started. I haven't taken a single day off from doing that. So,
and it's insane. I mean, now being plugged into these different companies. So let's walk it back. It was before we worked into the Furbserker. We do that project. You kind of get connected with Bottleneck. Tell me what that's kind of like, because you're talking to a community where the dream is to be able to make toys professionally, and now you're doing that.
Yeah. So I know, you know, you had a kind of bad situation happen with them with, you know, the way that they, the way that they're set up on, like, you know, promoting stuff before selling it and stuff. And I understand that for sure. We are, you know, with our project, we're doing that completely differently. But I love them. Joe and Arseny, they're both really good to me. Mm-hmm. And I like working with them a lot. It's challenging sometimes. Some of the projects aren't something that, I mean, you know, my work, I tend to do mashups if it's not like something that I'm going to produce, because I enjoy doing that and thinking of what I can put together that maybe makes sense together. But you know, with them, there's, I get some projects like that. I get to do some really cool stuff, that I want to do, like, you know, my Yoshi, that I did. And, you know, I did that. I did another project with Halloween 3 with, Trick or Treat Studios.
Oh yeah.
So that was really cool. There's a lot that I get to do. And then, I'll do, they do a lot of band stuff, and I know that they're big fans of like the Grateful Dead and Fish. And so I've done work for them as well. Those are challenging, you know, and I think that some of the more, you had somebody on recently that was talking about this. Some of the more simple things to sculpt are actually a lot more challenging. Mm-hmm. And that's where I think the big challenge is working on those projects. But yeah, through them, I was also recognized by Hector and Peter over at Mondo, which is mind-blowing. They messaged me and they're like, do you want to have a meeting or whatever? I was like, what? Yes. And so I got to do that. And
wait. Let's pause. I know I don't want to give you a break from this glorious podcast that you are currently listening to, but I have got something to say. First and foremost, I'm grateful. If you're listening to Toys on Tap, you are the reason why we get to do amazing things, help artists, bring artists up, produce their toys, all kinds of cool things. We want to take that a step further. If you could help us achieve our next goal, all you got to do is leave some reviews. I'm looking for 15 new reviews to be put on Apple Podcasts. It would be amazing. It helps me and Toys on Tap to take over the world and get these artists in front of more people. I know you got this. Now let's get back to the episode.
Hopefully in the future there'll be more projects, but it's been a lot of fun though. It's been a whole lot of fun. It's crazy to get to do it. It helps pay the bills. Sometimes that's very much needed.
I will say, I mean, Bottleneck, yeah, we had our little thing, but they make great stuff, and it's cool seeing all the stuff that they still do, even though we don't like work together on things. Like it's still really cool, and especially seeing the people that they work with, and then getting like seeing you in touch with Mondo has been insane, and just the reality that we've kind of talked about some of this where it's like you're living out the reality of if you don't know how to do something, you just got to do it. Like you don't get to just say, oh, I can't do that. I don't know how.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And there's a few gatekeepers in our community, and I'm not one of those actually. And I won't say who it is yet, 'cause I'm not sure, they want to talk about it quite yet, but I have, I think we have, a person that we both know that'll be working with Mondo here pretty soon as well. So
awesome.
You'll know who it is. He's working with us too on our project. So,
oh, cool.
That's really cool. It'll be really cool. Yeah.
I always in working in with people, especially with sculptors and stuff, it's like, there is this weird middle ground that I'm in where it's like, I love that everyone is like, Mondo's like, let's work with these people. But then it's like, man, now I don't get to like work with them as much. So that sucks, Mondo. One day we'll get as big as Mondo. One day.
Yeah, one day. Yeah.
Yeah. It is cool. I'm pumped to work on the project with you. I mean, we can talk about it fully here. We've been.
Yeah. We've shown off enough that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, we are kind of in this weird moment of I have just how things have to run in certain aspects. So the pictures have to get done and then influencers have to talk about it. So tell me about this project when it happened.
Yeah. So it all happened. I'll start at the very beginning and I'll try to make it short. So the very beginning of, me getting into this digital sculpting and everything actually started with Dimension X. And so I had sculpted a more realistic version of the motor from the back of the party wagon and Ninja Turtles. And he saw that and was messaging me. And I had seen his, he had started, and he still hasn't done this. He has made a giant one, but he had started this huge crane and he had shown off this mask. It was like as big as his head.
Yeah.
It's like, that's going to be insane. And then he came up with the idea to do Making a Mutant. And so we did that. And then a little bit later on down the line, he hit me up to do some collaborating. And one of those collaborations was Ninja Turtles and Star Wars mashup. And so he kind of gave me the idea to do, from what I remember, he gave me the idea to do the carbonite with, I think, I think his idea was with Shredder, and I decided to do it with Casey Jones because I thought Casey Jones kind of fit the Han Solo character a little better. And yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
So I sculpted Casey Jones and some pizza carbonite. So.
Yeah. And it was up, and I think we talked about it early on. Like, once we started doing production with Toys on Tap, I think we talked about it early on where it was like that eventually that needs to be produced. And yeah. It was always in the back of my head. And I have to space out, like, every project that we've done so far I've loved, but I have to space out the big, huge ones because I can't just come out the gate and back to back giant TMNT. I'm going to get sued. Yeah. And so I remember asking about it, and there was the way that it was sculpted for 3D printing or resin printing or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
And so it's been a fun interaction every time. Cause it was like, okay, let's get this ready for the project.
Yeah.
And instead of saying like, oh, I'll adjust these things, I think the message you sent back was, I'll re-sculpt it. Don't worry.
Yeah. And that's what I did. And I actually do that a lot, right? Like, so, cause there's been other things that I have done, just like the Yoshi, the Ghidorah Yoshi. Yeah. I'll sculpt these things with the intention. So I've had these ideas before, right? Where I'm like, oh, that's a great idea. I'll write it down. And then I won't ever make it. And then somebody else will.
Yeah.
That actually happened with, who was it? Did Super 7 put out the, I think it was Super 7 that put out the little Halloween characters in the like 80s style Halloween costumes.
Yeah.
I had that idea like way before that. And I was like, that would be a great idea. So they did it. But I've done that a few times. So I'll just start, if I get an idea that I think is good enough, I'll sculpt it. Mm-hmm. I think it'll be crap. And then if I end up making it like we're doing, I'll want to redo it because I don't really want to put that out. And so that's what I did. And I pretty much re-sculpted the entire thing for the most part. Yeah, there's parts of it that are original to the original sculpture. But yeah, we gotta figure out a way to do a soft vinyl of that Yoshi because
the Ghidorah
would be so
one?
Much cool. Yeah, it'd be so much cooler as a soft vinyl. The statues turned out great. I know myself included, a few people got them, and trial and error, I know that I should have sculpted things a little differently.
Okay.
The tongue sticking out on the metal head. It's like breaking off of everybody's. It's just, you know, resin is not
it's brittle. Yeah,
it's not forgiving at all. It'll just fall right off. So
we could definitely talk after that. I'm not opposed at all.
I'd re-sculpt.
Yeah. Did they have the license for it?
No, we didn't license it. So we got away with, I guess it was different enough that we didn't have to use a license for that. Yeah.
Yeah, that happens a lot because we are protected under parody law. But right. the big thing that, I mean, and this is for every toy artist. Have you ever heard that thing where if it's 30, it's some percentage. It's like if it's 30 or 70% different, it's okay.
Right.
That's not real.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I know what it is. I think what it is. Cause my aunt, she had this, this print, and it became very valuable because the person who painted it had, was being sued for doing the same thing. Cause they had painted like Kermit the Frog in it or something like that. And, so I think the rule has to, and I could be wrong, but I think the rule has to do with how many you produce. Right. Like, I think it's a number that's like, okay, so it can still be considered like art and not just copyright infringement.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of factors. The more I've been talking to a copyright lawyer and just been looking through all the different things. Right.
Yeah.
Cause you and I have talked about, like, I now have to have contracts with Toys on Tap.
Oh, yeah.
Which is never how I've ever conducted business.
Right.
And so especially like even sending that message to you is like, dude, you have every right to say we're done with this project.
No, I don't care.
Irritating.
I tell everybody if I could, man, for free, I would do this for free.
Yeah.
Just to see the stuff put out there and see people enjoy it. I don't care.
Yeah.
So I've had to sign NDAs with everybody. So.
the I mean, yeah, the amount of knowledge that you have on what's about to come out is crazy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's cool. That's fun.
Like, toy companies that have these things, when you do a mashup, you've already changed it. Yeah. So that kind of checks that box. And then after doing that part, there is a level of how many you produce or like how seen you are. But in the grand scheme of things, it's like 700 and below is still an extremely small run of most toys in comparison to what they've made.
Yeah, so, exactly. Like, yeah, what you put out in like Walmart or something is going to get, I don't know how many, I mean, hundreds of thousands. And right. So like they can't get away with like, you know, having somebody make something without using the license.
Right. And so those things, and then there's parody law that kind of shields you. And then it's also how you use the character, right? Disney gets really fiery when you use Mickey in a bad way.
Right. And I think that's the story of why we can even do this thing. And I read this the other day.
Again, yeah, the air pirates.
That's right. Yeah. And so like, I guess that's why. And so it's kind of a cool history to how we can get away with doing some of this stuff.
Yeah. The guy that did it, we brought him on to the podcast. His name is Dan O'Neill.
And, oh, yeah.
I mean, he's old now. So like crazy old. And so it's like trying to get him to remember things. And it is just, it's a weird middle ground that you're playing the whole time. Because even though Mickey Steamboat Willie is in the public domain, if you use that incorrectly, you're still using the name Mickey, they'll come for you.
Yeah.
Disney
yeah.
does not care.
Right.
And the things that I am learning that are really fun is like, I think it's Universal owns King Kong. Correct, Kong as a
yes, yeah.
So, yeah. If you use this, is something that's so crazy. The book came out in 1932, published in 1933. It's in the public domain. If you can use all of the parts in which it describes Kong in from the book and sculpt, you don't have to clear it with anybody. You can produce really? As many King Kong things as you want, as long as it's based off the book. And so there's little mini like gray areas everywhere.
Yeah.
But it's a landmine if you step the wrong area though.
Wow. That's interesting. And you know, so it's also Nintendo goes after people, right?
So they all send cease and desist. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm surprised on the one that I did that we didn't, you know, something didn't fall through because of that, but we now know that we can do it. So
yeah, I mean,
unless they're just unaware of it.
I'm so down. I'm excited because I like doing the Kickstarter because it launches this, you're able to do the limited edition as well as open the gate for other variants to come out. And working with SNZ was really cool and all that stuff. And now getting this project started, so with everything that we've produced, I've wanted to change one thing, but with this project, I changed two things. So I'm a little nervous. We added the two bases and we added the size of the actual, what we're thinking. Right. And so, tell me about the sculpt in general, when you started doing like bases with it.
Yeah. I wish I would have spent a little more time on them. I think I could have come up with maybe some better ideas, but I did kind of, I wanted to mimic like some other bases that I've seen with figures of Han Solo and Carbonite.
Yeah.
And then I also thought of, you know, like, well, how can I make like a sort of as if it's baking or something? So I did one like that. And again, you know, for people that are interested in buying these, the bases aren't necessary. Like you don't have to get that. You can just get the figure itself. But it looks pretty cool on them. So
yeah,
I hope it does go through like that.
Yeah. And I'm pumped to be doing this. I mean, I send the most amount, like I talked to Topher Toys today and he posted a toy that I was like, dude, when I'm done, when I have time, this is like in the line of production. If you want, this is it. And he was talking about articulation. And I think because you and I have worked together on so many projects, I now send people your way and I'm like, go talk to him. Like, I don't know. I'm not going to be able to help you, Like, go ask him, and then we'll, even when the competition came up, I was like, if we need to resculpt, I have someone that will do it, but you don't get to. Yeah.
Yeah. But not articulation. Oh my God. That is that's something that I need to really spend like a few months on. Like, cause holy crap. Anytime I touch articulation, I'm like, I don't feel confident at all. I don't know if this is going to work. And since I'm not printing it myself, I don't know if it does work, you know? So,
yeah. I mean, luckily with Sofubi and I mean, soft vinyl in general, the articulation is way easier because you don't have to build the pieces. It's like, as long as they just fit, the factory figures out how it fits.
I hope so. You know, I did that Baxter with James Grohman, and that's how it was. So it's a soft vinyl piece. And they just told me, you know, what type of like, just, I guess, you know, like cylinders or whatever. So I did that. So hopefully it worked out. Those should be shipping this month. So I'm pretty excited to get those too.
All right. So here's the question from your memory. You have to try to help me out here. How many pieces have you now sculpted that have been released with both Bottleneck and Mondo?
Okay. With Mondo, I've only had one release.
Okay.
But there's one that has not been revealed yet. Okay. So, and there's quite a few pieces to that one. So, you know, we're waiting to see, and maybe around Halloween, I'm hoping because it fits that. So, and then with Bottleneck, I don't have any idea. I was thinking about this, right? I don't remember.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. It's quite a few. Yeah. And, you know, again, a lot of those haven't been produced. I've got like, I think four that aren't even out yet.
Okay.
One will be revealed next month. A pretty exciting one that I had worked on quite a while back. And then two are shipping right now. So I did a Casey Jones. That one is licensed through Nintendo or through Nickelodeon. And then I did a Mac and Me, which I thought was a funny idea. Boy, that thing sold fast though. I didn't realize there were so many fans.
Yeah.
Mac and Me.
That thing, that show or whatever it is, I was uninterested in it as a kid. Me too. And so to hear, because I remember we talked about it and both of us were like, what's the point here?
What are we doing? I didn't know. I had no idea. And, you know, and I'm not, I'm a big cinephile, even with B movies and stuff. And I think this was probably one of those B movies. I think I just need to go watch it. I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
So it's kind of weird to sculpt it and not have seen the movie yet.
Can you tell me, I mean, because you're sculpting so much for work, are you still able, I mean, the question, can you sculpt your own stuff? Like, are you still able to do that and post and do all that kind of stuff? Or have you been taken over by the love of the game?
I haven't been completely taken over for most of the time I have, but right now I'm a little bit in a space where I can work on my own stuff. Mm-hmm. So I know, you know, with Bottleneck, we have too much stuff coming out to be working on any new projects until that's done. And then, you know, I haven't done anything with Mondo for quite a while. And so, yeah, I mean, I've been asked, I need to help 9 to 5 Warriors out. I know he has messaged me so many times about different things to do, and I just haven't. I've helped him with a few renders, but I know he wants to do stuff to get. In fact, and I'll add this on because this is kind of funny. He's pissed at you.
At me?
Yeah, at you. Yeah. Yeah. He said, and I know he messaged you this too.
Oh, is it the cost of the molds?
No. He wanted to help me produce the Casey Jones and Carbonite.
Oh,
And he's like, what the hell, man? And I was like, you didn't say anything.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That is funny. Because he also was, we were talking about mold costs one day. And he was like, dude, how are you producing these things? And I was like, well, the mold cost for soft vinyl is a one-time cost. And it's not crazy.
Yeah. He's doing, I believe he's doing like injection molding, right?
Yeah. So his costs are insane.
Yeah. That's so expensive. Yeah.
And we've kind of talked through that, but that's funny. I think the unfair advantage of Toys on Tap is that I'm interviewing constantly. So if I see something out there, that hasn't been produced and we want to move forward with it.
Yeah.
We're just going to go.
And I'm going to say yes to anybody. So yeah. first come, first serve.
Yeah. I was pumped that we got to do that. And then you're also, I mean, I don't know if we'll have to cut this if you're not allowed to talk about it, working with Alex Pardee.
I mean, not necessarily. So I've done a couple of sculpts for him, right? He was interested in, he hit me up on the first one that I did and said that, can we make this? Can we make this into a toy? I know he was on the road then. He was at, that dude's so cool. He was at like a gallery for some artwork he did for The Who, right? And then after that, I think he just left there to go do a comic convention or something. And now he's on the road again. He's just all over the place. It may never happen, but I enjoy sculpting his work. So I just sculpted like the third piece of his artwork. I just love it. I've been a huge fan of his forever. And so I decided to just for fun, sculpt a few of his pieces. Like I said, I'm in a little bit of a rut, so I'm just keeping busy as much as I can.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't know Alex made toys or anything.
He does a lot. I didn't know that he's made so many. I knew of two pieces that I was like, I almost bought both of them back when they came out quite a while back. And also, you know, I'm a fan of Jim McKenzie's, and he came out with some pieces that I almost bought a while back before I think a lot of people knew who he was.
Is Jim the potato one?
Yes. Yeah. He's so cool. Yeah. That guy's so cool. I never did, you know, which is a good thing because I do have an addictive personality, and I would have so many designer toys if I had just dipped my toe into that.
Yeah. I think that it's going to be fun watching the Queso Jones get produced. Cause you like, we work it into the amount that's produced that we each get some to sell.
Oh yeah.
And you have the choice of getting upwards of like 30 of each variant if you want.
Wow.
So you're going
to
have.
We interrupt this broadcast of Toys on Tap to bring you this. Meanwhile, in a galaxy of bootleg treasures.
DOV2, we have engine failure. We must crash land on DKE Toy Planet. Oh my. We're doomed. Wait. Salvation. Hooray. We're saved, DOV2. Limited edition custom artist-made action figures and DKE toys.
Check out www.dketoys.com for a full catalog.
Hooray for custom action figures. DKE.
Yeah. A crazy amount just sitting around until you sell
them. Yeah, until I sell them. And like I said at the beginning of this, you know, I'm pretty lazy, so who knows how long those will sit.
It's been cool seeing that. Do you know Janky Toys?
Yes, I do.
I can't remember the title. I believe he is Alex Pardee's art director, whatever that is. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you said that. I didn't know that. I know that he works. I know that he'll produce stuff through other companies sometimes. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure his whole background in producing toys.
Yeah.
But I think he's done stuff with Mighty Jacks too.
Yeah.
Which is huge, you know. He may have done stuff with Kid Robot. Probably. He probably has. Mm-hmm. I have no idea. But yeah.
What's crazy too is like in the path that we have been on, when we kind of worked with Bottleneck, the guy that got me connected with Bottleneck was a guy named Kwong, mm-hmm. who runs Creature Bazaar.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And
yeah, I follow them. Yeah.
It's been cool to like see them and go to SummerSlime and then meet Paul Kaiju. So like these beginnings that we had kind of opened a lot of doors in just with people in general, which is really cool.
Yeah. And I think that's why I've been, moderately successful is because of that. Cause not a lot of people know who I am, but a lot of people come on your show. Right. And so it helps to do that, to know people, to be seen like that through you. And I think through Dimension X as well, you know, like the first sculpt that I did of the, Casey Jones and Carbonite, got like, over 6,000 likes, maybe close to 7,000 likes on there. And so it was obvious it was going to be a big hit. I don't know why, just like the Mac and me, I don't know why people gravitate towards one thing and not another.
Yeah, it is a weird... I think it has to do with what it plays with on in your brain, right? Like the nostalgia part plus a little mixture of, I don't know, like home maybe. Maybe that's the – because it's TMNT, so that's a home run in general.
Right.
But
it's Star Wars, I guess. Yeah, that's probably what it is. Yeah.
My favorite thing is, I mean, we – working with SNZ as well, we had to figure out a name, right? You can't just name.
No, we can't say Casey Jones. Yeah.
And I was thinking about this and I want to talk to you about it. I think that we need to offer a free one to the guy that commented.
Yeah,
the name.
I agree. I had thought about this already. Yeah. And I wish I don't remember who it was, but yeah, when it popped up on there, it was like, oh yeah, that is a good idea.
Yeah. So Queso Jones was born.
Yeah, Queso Jones. Yeah.
That is crazy. And I mean, with this one, we've also ordered the prototype, which was like, I've never done that through the factory. And it is a wild, I mean, I sent you like how they broke down your sculpt and it is
crazy. I didn't know that they would even do that. I didn't know they would do that with soft vinyl, you know? So I didn't expect it. I've had that done, you know, on resin stuff and have done, you know, designs for injection molding. And so some things like that do have to be broken down, but I didn't know they did that with soft vinyl. And so
it's two separate factories. That did that. So one did this one and then the other one will produce maybe.
Oh, weird.
But this factory, when I sent it to them, they were like coming up with all the stuff and doing whatever. And then she sent that to me and that means they had to go in and break it down. But actual piece will only have a cap on the bottom.
Yeah.
So that it was wild.
Yeah, you know, like I said, I've had that done before on pieces. Mm-hmm. One that's going to be, it's going to pop up next month. That one was like that. I had quite a few. I don't mind them doing that. And I think they do probably a better job than I could do of it. I don't know if it's difficult for them, like time consuming for them to do that. Because I wouldn't mind leaving pieces separate if that was the case.
But, it is weird that they did that, but... I don't care. Whatever got me the dang piece, that's all that
it
matters.
Looks great. Yeah.
And I'm pumped because like people talking about it, they love it and they love your work. What, I mean, looking at these things that you've accomplished, what are the goals now that you have? Are you hoping to do this full time?
That would be the biggest goal, right?
Yeah.
But all I can do is think of like how to get more commissions with more companies. And so, and I'm not very savvy on some of these companies. And so I know I need a good portfolio. I don't know. I look at my work and I'm not proud of it.
That's crazy.
I know that it's because of people, you know, like especially working right next to so many great artists with Mondo. It's like, holy shit, I'm not, I'm so far off. And it's great because when I get something like that, I do get better, right? Because it's, you know, at least you're in the race. So at least I get to be alongside them, which makes me want to get better, makes me want to go learn new things. I got a lot of learning to do, though. I don't know. I think anytime that I do get a commission through like a company that produces like that, I do feel pretty lucky. So one day full time, I hope. Yeah, I hope so. Also, let's not forget Turbo Pork doing some artwork too. Yeah, that looked fantastic. I was so excited because my wife bought me a few of his prints like a couple Christmases ago.
Yeah.
And a huge fan of his. I see his stuff anytime like I go into like Walmart or Target and you know his artwork's all over Super 7 stuff.
Yeah,
it's just everywhere. It's pretty cool that he's working with us on that.
Yeah, he's funny. Made that I have to take I do want his art, but there was a miscommunication in speaking to him because I'm gonna chalk it up to language barrier.
Okay.
Because I said, I want you to design the package. And he's like, great, send me the image. And he did that. Yeah. And I said, awesome. Do you need the die cut so that you can do the whole package?
Oh.
And he was like, I don't do package design. Like, all right, thanks, man.
Okay.
Sick.
Well, the picture's cool. So yeah, the artwork is really rad.
I have plans for that. I think that'll be when I send out like the KMB, that will be in every box.
Oh yeah.
Say like this Kickstarter's coming, get ready.
Yeah. I did I got right now it's shipping. I did that KAC Jones for Bottleneck Gallery. And By Gabazeta did the artwork for the box, and he also did the digital rendering of the box itself and everything. Yeah. So
an Empire Blister. Empire Blisters. Specializing in action figure blisters. 3.75 inch or 1/18. 19 different styles. Two sizes of clamshell figure cases. Four different bulk pack options. Quantities of 100 sample packs available. Empire Blisters.
Now sponsors Toys on Tap.
That means a 10% off coupon on checkout. Use code Toys on Tap 10. That's TOYSOMTAP 10.
Empire Blisters.
I didn't realize there's so many people in our community who are working as specifically graphic artists full time. Like that's what they do. And so I was lucky to get him to work on that. I think we've done maybe two or three projects together now. He designed the artwork for the Yoshi box as well.
So yeah.
That was cool. Yeah.
I do wonder why he went, cause it looks like stained glass.
Yeah. So he gave me two options.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't have any preference. I'm just like, yeah, do it. And I'll like it no matter what it looks like.
Yeah.
So I asked my wife and she's like, oh, do the stained glass just so we can see what it looks like, you know, but I think it looks pretty cool.
Yeah. It looks great. Yeah. So what's next then for you? What are the projects that you're like really excited for coming for more horrific?
I don't, this one. And then our next one, you know, like whatever. And then our next one after that.
Yeah.
You're doing a commission with me right now. And
commission too, by the way.
No, not at all. So I thought maybe, you know, like you told me and I was like, that's so simple. It's so simple. This could be so easy to do. Mm-hmm. And I have to make it difficult, you know? So I'll show you, like I started it.
Yeah.
I'm pretty far along actually. And I had to make it a lot more difficult than what you wanted. And we can change anything on it, obviously, but, I think it looks pretty cool now. So, I think it'll be a cool one for
Heck
sure.
Yeah.
I don't think it's stupid at all now. Yeah.
It is the dumbest idea I've had, but it's the most like what I've seen in the Sifubi world of like,
exactly. I think it fits perfectly. Yeah.
And so
I think, what I've done to it, I think, you'll have a lot of variations of what you could come up with for, other paint schemes and stuff. Okay. Even one specifically that I'll tell you once I show it to you,
okay.
That I think would be pretty cool. I'll just tell you, I'm just going to tell you, I put a helmet on it, right? Like a military helmet.
Okay.
I think it'd look pretty cool. Painted up with, Full Metal Jacket, the helmet that the dude wears on there
on the
poster or whatever with like the peace sign and stuff.
Yeah.
I think you could do it. That's the helmet that I sculpted. So I think it would look pretty cool.
Okay.
If you can get away with doing that, but, it'll be cool. We get rid of the helmet too. I don't give a crap about it.
That's what's been so fun. And why I always push people towards you is every time we work together, you're not attached to these things. So it's
that's why I delete them.
Yeah,
I run out of space so fast too. So,
well, it's because
I'm just like, okay,
like,
get rid of it.
I don't like this. Can we change this? And you're like, yeah, I don't care. Whatever. Sure.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
This is
and
yours.
I'll tell you, I don't know. I don't know if something looks good or not. Like, I have no idea. And I, like I said, I'll go back and look at my old stuff and I'm like, oh my God, this is, I don't want to look at this.
Yeah.
So I'll get rid of it. And that's, with, hope this isn't going too long.
No, you're great.
With the Fur Berserker that we did, you know, if you can remember, and I'm not ashamed for you to put any pictures out if you ever do that either.
I have all of the original designs.
So the original stuff that I did, like I look at that, I'm like, oh my God, what was I thinking? Like that looks so bad. It looks so stupid. And I'll show my wife everything. And she's my biggest critic.
Yeah.
And I am humbled, so I can take it for sure. Anybody is like, oh my God, dude, this looks like shit. I'm just like, you're right. Like, yeah. I didn't even know.
And so, I do. Yeah.
The reason we got to where we got is because I had people telling me no, and that was you and her. And I was like, okay, cool. So we finally got to something that I think is terrific.
It's coming out. It will be. Yeah. So it will eventually be soft vinyl. The only change that we have to make to it, sadly, I mean, Yucko Toys hasn't been a part of what I've been doing.
Yeah.
And so I think the only part that has to change is the sculpt on the bottom. We're going to pull Yucko Toys and put Toys on Tap.
Okay, great. We can do that easily. Also, articulation, because we wanted it articulated, right? And so
the head doesn't need to. Being stuck is fine. But the arms will finally move and the legs will finally like twist or do whatever. And so there's, I always have to be careful, right? Like, so you and I both share the addictive personality.
Oh, yeah.
Mine is definitely like, well, what can I have designed? Like, do we have like separate hands that come with it? And I got to be careful because that just adds money.
It adds so much money. Yeah. I get it, though. I mean, I think accessories make it more appealing, too. I mean, sometimes I think... you're going to want to keep the cost down for people, right? Because we just want to sell. I mean, it's for us, the goal is to do this full time, but we're not trying to be rich about it. You know, we're not going to scam people out of some people's stuff is just way too pricey. I think it's crazy. It's like, you'll make more money if you just lower the cost and make more, right? Like make it more available for people. So,
yeah, that is. I'm glad that you said that because that's very true. And everyone I've worked with, we've tried to keep that in mind. So, I don't know if you've seen Pocket Salsa. He is kind of stepping away from soft vinyl and stuff.
Oh, really?
Which is fine. And so I pitched the idea, like, let me take over Chum and we can a portion just always goes back to you then. So it's just nonstop income.
Oh, okay.
But we'll take it over. It was one of our early projects. And so I got flack from people because when it originally sold, it was $24. That was it.
Wait, really? Wait, you got flack for that?
Because there is this.
I get it. I totally get it.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, oh, you're screwing us because we're asking more, right?
Right. So it's a little bit of that. It's a little bit of keeping the community in mind of like what we sell and things. I think I'm on the other side. Like, we don't do this full time. I don't need to sell 9,000 Chum at a certain price to survive. This was a fun project.
I do.
Yeah. And so the reality came that I now have to keep that in mind. But there's no internal or external pricing guide for anyone. Like, I have a piece. The Sifubi cabinet that I'm looking at right now. Like, the coffin from Bootleg Toy Co.
Oh yeah, isn't that great?
That was $30. That was
easy
buy.
Yeah. That's a great I think there should be some that are valuable so people can get them. But absolutely. I get why some are more expensive. Yeah. Like Grohman stuff. I'm like dude hand sculpts that.
Yeah.
And then pays a professional company to come in and 3D scan it, touches it up, and then it takes a lot of time and work. And so his stuff is I'll probably never own one of his personal pieces. They're so expensive, but
one day
get it. Yeah, one day maybe. Yeah.
But like looking at those, or looking at like Garden State Kaiju.
Yeah.
And those are $30 good. Or whatever.
Yeah.
But then you have like the Tarbis from Doomco. I think it was like $12.
So I know, like, that's crazy.
There's no actual pricing guide here. No one does it. And it all depends on your name, on the availability. Like so much goes into it.
Right.
And I think that the people that asked me about it when I first started selling, in their head, they have what they would sell it for.
Right.
I don't have those same metrics. And so it's been a learning curve. But because Chum's already here – he's still going to be $24, my guy.
Wow, that's crazy. That's so good. I mean, I am surprised that it's that cheap too. But
I mean, the mold. I think it's awesome. Yeah, yeah, that piece, because it was the price that it was, we sold 112 of them.
Wow, nice.
And that was, and like figuring all the other, like there were some artist commissions and stuff, but we sold a lot and it was crazy. Yeah.
And you can keep going with it. I mean, and do new sculpts, hammerhead or something like that. You can do anything with it. So,
yeah. So yeah, I mean, great thing. That's the really cool part about it. I mean, last part of the whole podcast, I mean, you want commissions and stuff. Here it is. Plug your stuff, man. So that people can get to you and how they get to you and work with you.
Yeah, I'm only on Instagram. I don't, I don't like going on there either, but that's where you can contact me and I'll work with anybody that wants to do anything. If I have time, collaborations are cool. I got some stuff coming out pretty soon, but a lot of it I can't really talk about yet. And that's it. Nothing, no big news yet.
Heck yeah. Mark, it is always a pleasure chatting. And just going over all the stuff that we work on and all that stuff. And thanks for saving me this week.
Oh, yeah, not a problem. Thank you.